The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, we did it again. Who knows how? Packets flying through the air, up to the satellite, down to your phone, and you're in the backseat of your car doing some nasty shit. I know you. Coming to your cordless, everybody. It's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 p.m. on the West Coast, 2 minutes after 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia. And here where I'm sitting, smack dab in Ilhan Omar's congressional district in Northeast Minneapolis, it's 2 minutes after 10 p.m. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters Tonight, show number 53. It's Tuesday, November... what is it, the 28th? Hold on a second. I got to check. Yeah, it's the 28th. It's Tuesday, November 28th, and it was 10 degrees in the Fahrenheit, whatever. It was 10 degrees today in the morning. It's cold. I don't like it. And yeah, why do I live here? You tell me. I don't know. Now, 10 degrees for a low in Minneapolis in November. That's cold even for us, the icebox of America. That's cold. It usually doesn't get this cold till December or January. But it's going to warm up tomorrow, apparently. We've had a couple of really cold days here. I have not left the house at all. I did not go out. I didn't even go out to the garage. I did not go out. So, what do we got? I'll tell you what we got. So, you notice I got a new background tonight. I had a new background last night. And so, I'm trying to do something for the holidays here. And the one I did last night, well, it looked okay. Matter of fact, let me show it to you. It's this one right here. But it's kind of, the name of the show is At Night. And that's not at night at all. That's kind of bright. So I found this today. Now, believe it or not, and I wasn't looking for this, that is downtown Minneapolis. It's just like it's from the other direction from our normal background of the skyscrapers. Yeah, if those of you who are familiar with downtown Minneapolis, that's the Stone Arch Bridge that goes across the Mississippi. Matter of fact, let me see if I can move here. You can see a little bit of the bridge here. Oh, shit. I can't roll my chair that much. Anyway, yeah, that's what that is. And I was not looking for that at all. So we're going to use that for a while. It's snowing. We did get some snow last Saturday. Finally, we were pushing the only November on record where we had no snow whatsoever. Usually, we don't usually get very much. Like, you care. I know you don't care. I didn't get a chance yesterday. Last Saturday, the famous Brittany Shears of Northeast Minneapolis, a hairstylist, cut my hair. I want to thank Brittany for that. Always does a good job. I got a nice haircut. I got this thing going on here. Let me show you. It's like I look like I have a bald spot, but actually I don't. It's really, really odd. And this is really true. And my friends have told me about this. My hair is like wired in. I don't lose hair at all, not the least bit. And yet, as I get older, my hair is starting to look fake. And I know it. I've seen it too. I know that. It's starting to look like I'm wearing a toupee. No, it's my real hair. You know? Okay, so I got nothing to cling on to, you know? That's what I got. So, tonight, no guests. You call me up. You can call me. Go to jimandnight.com/call. We have redirected this. See that? A QR code. It no longer goes to our website. Now it goes directly to the preview screen for our studio queue. So you basically get to skip a step. So you take a picture of that with your phone, and you're in. There you go. So you can do that. Also, you can leave me, as it says here too, you can leave me a text or a voicemail at 408-458-5088. I'm thinking about caving on this a little bit. I've told everyone that I will never check the chat while we're on the air. And the problem is we have, let me see, we're in 7 different places. We have, I think, at least 4 different chats going at once. But I'm thinking about caving a little bit, that I will look at the text messages while we're on the air. Because the thing is, that's universal, too. So you can send me a text from anywhere, no matter how you're watching. And, yeah, I'm thinking about doing that. I'm not going to try it tonight because I got to get some stuff going on running here. And yet it's another screen for me to look at. But I'm thinking about that. Matter of fact, if you have an opinion on that at all, why don't you text that to me? I will look at the. I always look at the texts at the end of the after the show. I got a guy who keeps reminding me, streaking my hair that you know, he can tell. He says he can tell when I don't wash it. I hate to say this, he's pretty much accurate. he can tell. So any rate, all right. So. That's what we got tonight. So what am I going to talk about? I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about tonight's show is called It's the Biden Economy, Stupid. And I'm getting tired of the people in the administration trying to tell us that economically everything's great and that we just don't notice. This is just bullshit. So today, just today, now I've been running I got so much news that I'm plowing through here. At this point now, I'm very happy to tell you, you probably don't care, that I'm running about a day ahead on planning for the show. So, I spend several hours working on this every day, even though I do this basically off the top of my head. But I have a little outline here. It's not a teleprompter because I don't want to bother scrolling up and down while I'm doing this. But I have a little outline that I overlay on the screen And I'm pretty much planning the show now. So this one I did yesterday, even though there were 2 articles that came out today, both by our friends, Jazz Shaw and David Strom at HotIR.com. I love those guys, and I don't love them because I love them. I love them because they're great writers, and that's the reason they come on the show. I mean, at this point, I mean, no offense, you know, I don't care how much I love you. If you suck as a guest, you're not coming back on. That's all there is to it. We got better things to do. So anyway, David wrote an article on Hot Air today called We're Governed by Ignorant Fools, and Jazz wrote one called Biden's Attempts to Spin the Economy Fall Flat. And so, yeah, and they're trying to spin it. You know, Bidenomics, that's what they're calling it. You know, we just don't notice that things are really going really well. You know, unemployment's down, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they can cite all these statistics. Yeah, but I know this too. Inflation... You know, they say, well, inflation has come down, you know, since its high last summer. And that's true. It has. It has. It's still way, way above what it was when Biden took office. When Trump left office in January 2021, the inflation rate was 0.7%, less than 1%. It was 0.7%. Now it's about 4. Okay. It was 9. Yeah. All right. So, you know, you have it. Okay. That's an accomplishment, I guess. No, it isn't. No. And the other thing is, these people don't have any control over this. See, this is, you know, I had a friend of mine, a liberal friend of mine tell me, he said, well, it really doesn't matter because the president has no real control over the economy anyway. Well, most of them don't because they don't know what they're doing. Hardly any of them did. You know, the only two in the last 40 years, the only two presidents that did were Clinton and Trump. That's it. Clinton knew too, and I props to a Democrat. I mean, he's like the only Democrat since Kennedy, you know. And I'm going to talk about that in a second too, because was it who? Well, just a second, I got to check on this. It was Stephen Moore, the economist. He wrote an article for Hot Air today. I get all my stuff from the same place, but no, actually, I don't. It just so happens that Hot Air. Publishes a bunch of really good shit. Stephen Moore, the economist, he wrote an article today saying that JFK today, John F. Kennedy, would have been a Republican, and he would have, you know, because he understood this. Moore talks about this in his article about the fact that Kennedy distinctly understood that by cutting taxes, he could increase the revenue to the government. See, this is the part that I, for the life of me, these people, they think they can violate the laws of economics and free market capitalism, and they can't. This is also the same reason they think socialism will work. You know, they just think they can make it work by sheer force of will. No, they can't. So Kennedy understood, and he apparently talked about this several times, he understood that by cutting taxes, he could raise revenue to the government. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what it's happened every single time federal taxes have been cut. Revenues to the government have gone up. Now, you think if you want money to spend for programs, you'd think as a Democrat, you'd think that would be a good thing. But no. The idea is we have to pay higher taxes to punish us. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. You know, we have a whole bunch of people in the office right now who seem completely intent on raising taxes, and it does not increase revenues to the government. It doesn't. So I brought that up because, yeah, Kennedy knew that 60 years ago, and Biden and his administration can't seem to figure this out. So, you want to know where your inflation came from? It's very simple. It was the COVID supplementation and stimulus packages. That's where it came from. They printed $5 million, $6 million, what am I talking about? Trillion dollars that didn't exist. They printed it. They sent it out. And, geez, if you flood the marketplace with that much worthless money, and it's worthless because there's nothing behind it. There's no labor behind it. Well, it's not literally printing because, you know, it's not paper. But they figuratively just made up a bunch of numbers and sent them out and then cut checks. That's what they did. And then they're wondering why inflation happened. And they're still, Corinne Jean-Pierre, again today, she's done this a zillion times, but again today, she tried to blame this on Trump. It's hilarious. She says, we inherited an economic nightmare. No, you did not. No, it's the opposite. That's a lie. You're lying. Last night we talked about the mainstream media and how they're passing lies off as truth, and everyone, you know, all the liberals in America think, oh, you know, you're just a conservative. You're just saying that because you got nothing. No, that's what's going on. As a matter of fact, they're getting brazen about it because they can. They think, well, nobody will ever think that we'd be so brazen as to lie about so much stuff. But they are, and that's what, you know, that's what they're doing. I mean, this is gaslighting, Corinne did from the podium at the White House press room. That's gaslighting. She says, no, Trump gave us a terrible economy. That's completely, utterly false, and everybody knows it. So the more they do it, the worse they look, and they don't seem to understand this. So today, I get this guy's name confused. Manuel Cordova is his name, the Secretary of Education. He decided to quote Ronald Reagan. This is him talking. He says, I'm trying to get this as good, as correct as I can. So forgive me if I screw this quote up a little bit. But he said, I'd like to quote Ronald Reagan. We're from the government and we're here to help. And the crazy thing is, anybody who knows anything about that quote knows that's completely wrong. That's the opposite of what he said. What he actually said is, the 9 scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. That was the quote that Ronald Reagan said. In other words, he was poo-pooing the government saying that. Cordova, he said it in all earnestness, and he didn't understand. I mean, he got raked over the coals for this, but here's the problem, folks. How can you not know that? I mean, I understand if you don't know the quote at all. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't. I did, you know, but I'm sure a lot of people never heard it. But how could you not know the quote, and how could you know the quote and not understand the meaning behind it? That's absurd. And that's exactly what Strom's writing about his article here, titled We Are Governed by Ignorant Fools. This is actually what's going on. You have a whole bunch of highly educated, really arrogant people who are actually really, really stupid. I've been saying for the last 3 years now that the thing going on at the border is simply a bald-faced attempt to get more voters into the country. I'm actually, because I said that nobody could be that incompetent. I'm actually starting to wonder. I'm starting to doubt that. These people are so ungodly incompetent, it's mind-boggling. They can't do anything right. Nothing. You know, I'm gonna give Biden some credit here, because there's only two things I can think of that he hasn't completely fucked up, and that's the war in Ukraine, and so far the war in Israel versus Hamas. But right now it looks like he's on the precipice of fucking that up too. He's apparently really pushing Israel for a permanent ceasefire, and that's absurd. That's ridiculous. You know, well, you know, you got these hostages back. Maybe if you wait longer, you get more of them. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, right. And then Hamas will come and kick your ass again. You know? I mean, there's no way of getting around this. Oh, I forgot to mention this because I clipped this during the weekend. I was going to mention it yesterday in my notes from yesterday. So I got a lot of notes. matter of fact, a friend of mine gave me shit about this last week. I was last Monday or Tuesday, or you know, 2 weeks ago when we were before we took the week off, about the fact that I made a presumption that because Hamas was the elected government of Gaza, of the Palestinians, that the people there basically agreed with what Hamas was doing. And my friend really poo pooed me. He said no. He said that's bullshit. Yeah. He said no, but nobody in their right mind would agree with that sort of carnage. Nobody would. And okay, so you know, that's an easy assumption to make. But the same thing like the press is doing, they do completely outrageous stuff under the assumption nobody would ever think they're actually doing it. That's what's going on right now. Well, it turns out I think I said this on the air, if I'm right. I said that, you know, no one's done a survey of the Palestinian people. Well, believe it or not, last weekend somebody did. And it was one of the major polling companies in the United States. And I don't know how they got over there to do it. And so it's war over there. So maybe we take this in a grain of salt, with a grain of salt. But they did. They took a survey of, I think it was 4,000 Palestinians. And I asked them certain questions. This is what came out. 75% of the respondents said that they supported Hamas bombing Israel. 76% said that bombing was justified. 98% said that they are pro Hamas. 98%. It does not look good. And so my friend, who made a valid assumption, I mean, you know, if you're going to make assumptions, it's a pretty safe one to make. Saying nobody in their right mind would sign off on this carnage. Well, apparently they are. According to this survey, they really do support Hamas, which is their elected government. They haven't had an election in 16, 17 years, but they elected this government, and apparently they're standing, you know. Oh, no, I actually got one of those figures wrong. It was one of them, the second question was how many people hate Israel, and it was 76% of the Palestinians. You know, now, you know, the and of course the people are pro Hamas will say, well, they hate Israel because Israel took their land and has treated them like shit. The second part isn't true. Israel hasn't treated them like shit at all. That's not true. Yeah, they did take their land, but you know, I get back to, what's the statute of limitations? You know, it was 75 years ago. You should have done something about it then. You know, it's too late. It's like, you know, I have to repeat this because it's a really good analogy. It's like people saying we got to give land back to the American Indians. It was 250, 300 years ago. No, it's too late. No, we've already, you know, even over there, they've built Tel Aviv. It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. You really have to remember that Israel is the only democratic nation in this entire region. And also, it's the only real, I won't say capitalist, because the Saudis, I mean, they're definitely daily capitalist. It's basically the only real free market one, you know? So they have this shining, beautiful little country that where people have done extremely well is surrounded by a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, then you get to Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Well, the only reason they're rich is because they're standing on the greatest oil reserves on the planet. If it wasn't for that fact of, stroke of luck, they would have no money. They would be, if they're, otherwise it's just a dusty little enclave. There's nothing going on there. So you got people got lucky, and then you got the Jewish population, the Israelis, who basically made something of the. I mean, really, seriously, it's just dust. The land over there isn't worth shit, as far as you know, as farming or any of that sort of stuff. It isn't, and Israel is about the size of New Jersey. So I don't know. You send in Tony Soprano. I don't know what you do. Any rate, so we have a presidential administration who's trying to tell us that everything's fine, and yet I do the shopping in my family. I've said this before. I do. I do the grocery shopping. I enjoy it. Believe it or not, it's kind of like I'm not thinking about this. I know firsthand how much prices have gone up on everything. As a matter of fact, as far as I can tell, on most items in the grocery store have gone up about 50% since the beginning of the year in the last 11, 12 months. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. And it's not just groceries. Insurance has gone up. Have you tried to rent an apartment? Holy shit. It's unbelievable. Excuse me. Mortgage rates have gone up because interest rates have gone up. This is not a pretty picture. The real thing is, this needs to be emphasized, they caused this, and any jerk could have told them when they did that crap that it was going to happen, and every jerk did, and they didn't listen, and they still don't think it's their fault. They still don't. I mean, the incompetence of these people, and coupled with their arrogance, is just mind-boggling, you know? And this is what society's come to. I was talking about this last night. Jazz Shaw again in Hot Air wrote a column called "The Beginnings of Barbarism." I mean, it's really easy to see our country going down the toilet right now. It is. There's another little thing too. This happened. This was also today. I'm going to show you a little graph here. Look at that. It's so slick what we got going on. So here, this graph, I can't remember who actually did this survey. Was it Gallup? This is a survey of people by generation, and from right to left, it's, if you can't see that, it's boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, and then the last one's all of them. It's a composite. The question they asked was, how much money do you need to make per year to feel financially secure? Okay? Now, here's what's going on here. I'm pointing my mouse at this, but you can't see my mouse. From right to left, it's about $125,000, and then you get to the millennials, $525,000. Then you get back down to Gen Z, $125,000. It's pretty much everybody except the millennials. The millennials need $500,000. They do. Because who the fuck knows? You know? I mean, we have raised a whole generation of morons. That's what we have. This is just ridiculous. I get on here every night and I bitch and moan about this stuff, but the fact of the matter is it needs to be bitched and moaned about. It does. So your little millennial kid, he needs $500,000 to feel financially secure. Yeah, fantastic. That's good. Yeah. So, there's a mindset in this country right now where no one will admit that they're wrong. That's basically what it is. And so you have, and no one, and because of that, nobody listens to anybody. I mean, You know, I've told you this. I've said this in the past here. I do not engage in political conversations with my friends because I can't change their mind. So what's the point? You know, I don't understand. Well, I mean, you know, well, I mean, I'll say a few things here and there if they ask me. You know, I'll give them my two bits. You know, but I'm not going to try to convince anybody because no one wants to be convinced. No one. Apparently, we're all so goddamn fucking arrogant that we all think we're right, and half of us aren't. Now that half changes, you know, depending on what the subject matter is. But I don't understand, and I've never been able to understand the economics things and the Democratic Party or the liberal persuasion. You know, I told you one of the reasons I became a conservative over the course of 10 or 15 years because I started to study economics, and there's an axiom in economics that if you study economics, the more you study it, the more you learn about economic theory, the more likely you are to become conservative. I'm not just saying that. That was, I think, with New York University. I actually did a study on that. They came to that conclusion. And the reason is because you cannot study free market capitalism without concluding at some point that liberal fiscal policy doesn't work. And that's exactly what's going on right now. It doesn't work. So you've probably heard about this. They had an election in Argentina. And the guy's name is Milei, I think. I'm not certain how you pronounce his name. They elected a conservative. They have right now in Argentina, the annual inflation rate is 140%. Now, so you know, compare that to ours, which was 9%, and I'm bitching and moaning about the prices of the supermarket. Theirs is 140%. That means that money, the cost of goods, more than doubles in less than a year. Matter of fact, in about 6-8 months. And it's been doing this stuff for several years. Their money's basically worthless, and people, they can't buy anything. So they finally dumped their socialist government, which had been around for like 20 or 30 years. They dumped it, and they elected a conservative. And this guy says he's going to fix this, and he says he knows how. And if you listen to him, he does. Now let's just see if he can or wants to do it. Let's you know, that's the other thing. You know, just because you know what to do doesn't mean it's going to happen. But their inflation rate's 140%. And then, you know, then you talk about the people who just want socialism. You know, Bernie Sanders wants, it's not real socialism, you don't understand. It's democratic socialism. Well, that's what they have in Venezuela, which went from the richest country in South America to the poorest in less than 30 years, 20 years. I mean, they have no money at all. They have no functional economy anymore. This is stupid. So Murray Sabrin has been on this program regularly. He's one of our regular guests. We try to have our regular guests on every 4 or 6 weeks, you know. So because Murray's great at educating people about how the economy works, knows way more about economics than I do, way more. He wrote a Substack column on his Substack feed today. And he, hold on just a second. Oh, the title of his Substack column is "The Global Debt Bomb Fuse Has Been Lit," and I'm going to link to this on our blog, so you can read this. So he's talking about the fact that we have, and I've talked about this too. We have $36 trillion in debt in this country, and the Biden administration, and once again, they've flat out lied to you. He has said they have cut the amount of debt down and the deficit, and they haven't. As a matter of fact, if anything, now the difference there, the debt is the amount of accumulated debt over time. The deficit is the amount of the annual shortfall of our budget. In other words, like, you know, if we spend $20 trillion and we have $16 trillion, that means our deficit is $4 trillion. Got that? So then that gets plowed into the cumulative debt that we have, which right now is $36 trillion. Now, the Biden administration has easily added more to this debt than any other previous administration. It's not even close. And You know, you can go on about the economy during the Trump years were really good, but the fact of the matter is Trump added a good deal to the deficit too, and Obama did. Basically, every president has since Clinton. Clinton was the only. Clinton actually had a balanced budget. I don't know if it was 2 years or one, but he did. But they balanced the budget finally for the first time in like 70 years. They actually say they did not contribute to the debt. Since then, every president pretty much has done so. But Biden has completely left the field on this. He's like, I mean, I think his deficits are more than double what Trump's and Biden and Obama's were. So not even close. And so he's a bald-faced liar, and he gets up and says, you know, we've cut the debt. No, you haven't. You haven't cut the debt at all. No. Matter of fact, what they've done is that someone explained what their reasoning is. It's like they raised the debt and then they cut that. And that's what so in other words, it's way, way higher than it was previously, but they cut the amount that they personally were indebting the country to. So they claim that as a victory. It's like, seriously, it's gaslighting. It's like your spouse telling you, no, I don't want to kill you. You know, here, drink some more of this tea. It's an interesting side story. I was on a cruise about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and we found out afterwards that there was a guy on board the ship that had been hauled into the brig because they caught him trying to poison his wife. He was trying to kill his wife. And then when we got to the airport in Anchorage, Alaska, he got loose, and the police are chasing him through the airport, and we're watching. It's like he's trying to escape. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I'll kill my wife on the cruise. What a great idea! Shit, it's like criminals. I'm astonished that criminals always seem to think they're smarter than everybody else, and that's their self evaluation is virtually always wrong. They're idiots, but they don't know that, and so they think they're not going to get caught. Yeah. Try that in the age of DNA, right? You know, shit. But Murray's talking about the fact that this debt that we're sitting on, this $36 trillion, is a ticking time bomb, and it is. And the problem is we don't know when it's going to go off. At some point, and I'll just read you part of what he said here, how this actually works. This is from his column. The more ominous probability of a spike in a country's debt is the central bank buys the treasury's debt, that is, prints money, leading to monetary inflation, and in due time, the nation's currency plummets in value, causing prices to rise, which is price inflation. This reduces the real value of debt, effectively wiping out the suckers who purchased the treasury bonds to allow the government to pay its bills. Argentina is experiencing runaway inflation, like I was talking about, because the central bank there has been monetizing the debt to pay the national debt government's reckless spending. And Murray is predicting that we will have the Great Depression 2.0, highly probable in the 2030s. Now, it could be, you know, he's taken, no one really knows. He's taking a flyer. I don't know if it could happen. Hell, it could happen next month. We don't know. We just don't know. But at some point, this is going to come back and totally bite us in the ass. And the fact that, I will accept the fact Trump didn't actually do anything about this as one of his failures, although I always assumed that in the second term he would address it. I always assumed that. I don't know if he gets elected now. I don't know if that's true. It's not really a second term. He's going to have his hands full of fixing all the shit that's broken already. You know, matter of fact, that will probably take up his entire 4-year term if he's going to fix all this crap, you know, I'm a Trump supporter, I admit it. But here's my thing with this. You know, yeah, he's a nasty man, he's vile, he's venal, he's petty, all that sort of stuff. He says bad shit, no doubt about that. At this point, though, he's the only person who's actually demonstrated that he can do this stuff. You have people who are running two governors, well, former governors in terms of Haley and DeSantis. I think that DeSantis could do it, too. I think so, but I don't know for sure. I don't. There's certainly no one on the, I mean, even at this point, it's almost certain Biden is going to be the nominee because it's too late to change him. You know, Newsom couldn't. I mean, California is a fucking disaster. And he's going to be on Hannity on Thursday night. He's going to debate DeSantis. I mean, I have a certain admiration for that guy. My God, he's a slick talker. He really is. I've never seen anybody say more bullshit in my entire life. I mean, and in one sense, that's a compliment. Because he's really, really good at spewing bullshit. He's really good at it. But still, the guy can't do anything. He's a typical bullshit politician. He's great at talking and can't do anything. And California is a dumpster fire waiting to happen, and they will eventually have to go bankrupt. There's no doubt about that. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to, and they will come to the federal government to ask them to bail them out, and if we have a Democratic administration, my guess is they will. You know, matter of fact, I don't know, maybe in a Republican administration would. I wouldn't if I was president. Oh, sorry, too bad. You know, you screwed it up. You guys are going to have to live, you know, but I mean, and that's one of the reasons these states or these entities do this is because they know somebody's going to bail them out. They know that. Excuse me. Hold on. Yeah. It's just that we've become an irresponsible society. That's all there is to it. We constantly think people are going to bail us out. We have way, way more money than Strom said this in this article he wrote this morning about the fact that, you know, that compared to the rest of the world, we basically have no problems. You know, on a personal level. You know, yeah, you can talk about the fact, you know, that you couldn't afford to fix your roof or whatever. Well, I mean, what are commonly called first world problems. Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, we still live way better than anybody did 100 years ago. We live, the average American lives way better than even the wealthiest person 100 years ago. Case in point, food. Your meal at McDonald's, I'm not talking about even anything high end here. Your meal at McDonald's is better than the food that the vast majority of people on the planet ate 100 years ago. That's not crap. I'm no pun intended. He's getting a guy talking to himself on TV. No, that's really true. And then if you're talking about a healthy meal, it's really good cooking. Oh my God. I mean, it's unbelievable. There are kings that didn't eat as well as we did. The richest people on the planet did not eat as well as we did, or we do now, that from 100, 150 years ago. There's just no doubt about it. And that's true of almost everything. There's no electricity, no heat, you know? I mean, and we have so many of us have so much money. I mean, you know, I think that's a good thing, actually. I do. I mean, I'm pro-capitalist, you know, rah-rah, you know, you go get it. But but one of the problems here is we spoiled our children. And now our children grow up to be, like I was saying, the millennials, they grow up to be morons. And they're the same people that are on the street protesting for Hamas and also thinking that we need a socialist government because Bernie Sanders told them to. Bernie Sanders is a guy who's never had a real job in his entire life. And I'm not kidding. He hasn't, you know. You look at the history of these politicians. I think Joe Biden worked for a law firm for a year. Barack Obama worked for a law firm for exactly 1 year. Exactly. That was it. That's the only for-profit job he's ever had. Otherwise, he was a quote-unquote community organizer, and he was a politician. That's what he was. He got legitimately wealthy writing books. He did. So, kudos to him. That's the way the system's supposed to work. You know, now, of course, every president gets filthy wealthy after they leave office. And it's been pointed out, you know, with Rosalynn Carter, who just passed away, and Jimmy is in hospice himself, that Jimmy Carter was probably the last president who didn't try to do that. he really didn't, you know. Now, it's kind of lost to history. McCarter actually was fairly wealthy when he became governor of Georgia, let alone president of the United States. He owned Carter Farms, which at that time, and I think if I'm right, still does, is a primary producer of peanuts in the United States. I mean, the guy, and that's the thing, the guy wasn't stupid. He was a nuclear physicist in the Navy. He actually ran the nuclear engines on submarines. No fucking lie. And so everyone had real high hopes for this guy, and his presidency was a disaster. But it wasn't anywhere near as bad as Joe's is right now. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, people thought this was terrible in the 1970s, and now you're looking at it, now it's even worse. I don't understand how these people can do this. But I've also said too, the huge difference in personality is that Carter knew shit was admitted. He acknowledged that shit wasn't going well. I mean, he was constantly asking people what they should do differently. You know, he was getting on TV, basically apologizing to the public, and yeah, it made him look weak. And maybe he was weak, but he did that. He apologized for what was going on. Biden, as far as Biden's concerned, everything's great. Everything's terrific. It's mind-boggling. And like I said in my description of tonight's show, it's like, I've said for a long time, Joe Biden isn't going senile and he doesn't have dementia. He's always been this way. He's a delusional human being. He's delusional and he's stupid. That's his problem. So, although if you look at, I mean, I just saw a tape of him from the 2020 debates this afternoon. I saw a few seconds of it. It's unbelievable. You want to talk about somebody who's aged. Now, every president seems to age in office. Ironically, except Trump. Trump actually looks better now than he did in 2016. He's lost some weight, that's for sure. And, you know, so, and that's because he's just a belligerent son of a bitch, I'm sure. But Biden has very definitely faded here from age. There's no doubt about it. But still, that's beside the point. I mean, the same thing would have happened if he was 55. He would have, you know, he'd look better doing it, but I can assure you the same thing would have happened. We would have this dumpster fire of an administration. All right, so you know what's going to happen now. I'm going to play the little bumper to separate the show, the news and policies from the show from all the weird paranormal news. That's what I'm going to do, and here it is. Okay, so here's our science news for today. I got a few items. First of all, Sports Illustrated is being accused of using AI to generate articles, and they actually generated non-existent authors to write them. They've been accused of this. Okay, there's that. I gotta check something. Who was this? Who said this? A guy named Michael Lee on Fox Business wrote an opinion piece saying that AI will kill some jobs but may offer new opportunities in others. It's going to mostly Boston, kill jobs. 1773, one of the most daring and consequential... Sorry about that. That's what happens when I check shit on the air. And this is the thing that really got me today. Now, I'm going to show you a picture here. Hold on a second. Once again, I'm actually sharing the screen. I'm going to share a screen. Here, look at this woman. Okay. Believe it or not, that's not a real person. So this company in Spain, they got tired of dealing with the egotism and bullshit from the models, and so they created a model entirely out of AI. That's not a real picture. And the thing is, along with this article, although I couldn't pull it, there's about a half a dozen more pictures of this woman. They've named her Elena, if I'm right. I've looked at these closely. I've blown them up. I cannot tell that this is not a real person. This is a manufactured image by AI. It's not real. And so they're using this woman as a model, and it's working fabulously. She's billing about $10,000 a month. It's fucking incredible. And they said they got tired of dealing with the egos of models. They got tired of dealing with their delays, just the whole drama of these having these women around. They got sick of it, so they created this, and it's working out fabulously. And I can't tell. I'm looking at this picture, and I don't know, what kind of screen you're on right now. I can't tell that this is not a real person. I can't. It's mind-boggling. So, what made me think of the fact is, we've been saying, those of you who are video game players, and I'm not really, but I keep up with the industry because of technology, that I've said we're about maybe a couple years away from true photographic realism on video games. Now, it's obviously going to be a given. You know, 3-4 years from now, you will play a video game that will look like a film movie. In other words, you won't be able to tell that it's not real. I mean, we're almost at that point right now, almost, but not quite. I mean, we're going to be there in very short order, because this woman, if you want to call her that, she's running around, she's literally posing for clients, even though no one ever meets her. And they bill for her services, and they don't have to listen to her bitch and moan about her working conditions or wanting a night off to see her boyfriend or whatever the hell is going on, It's like they actually said, the guy who ran this company says that was actually a large impetus for doing this. They got tired of dealing with the model, the actual personalities of the models, that they're just, basically just stuck up bitches. Yes, I said that, didn't I? So, but I just find this incredible. I'm looking at this and looking at this, and I can't see. This does not look fake at all, at all. And you can look too. I'm showing it to you. I have no idea if you can actually see that on the screen you're at. But I'm gonna post that picture too on a blog. I'm gonna post it. I'm gonna blow it up as big as I can and stick it in the gutter. And I mean the gutter of the page, not. No, we're not going to the gutter. We're not. We tried to get this show on OnlyFans. That's actually true. We couldn't get by their screening process. Believe it or not. I thought, no shit, really? You got all sorts of stuff going on here, and you screened us out. I don't know, but that's what happened. We dumped it. All right, so. We're going to call an evening. I want to thank you folks for watching. If you're on Rumble, please follow us, because we've been stuck at 887 followers for about a week now. So I just kind of like to get it over 900, just for a little point of pride. I don't have a guest tomorrow either. I might have one for Thursday. I'm working on that. So next Wednesday is the fourth and last Republican primary debate. Now, I have to tell you, the big rumor going around is that Trump is going to show up for this one. The rumor is based on the fact that the Secret Service has been casing out the venue, the arena where they're going to have the debate. And Trump right now is the only Republican candidate with a Secret Service detail. So that's what they're basing that on. But other than Trump, it's probably only going to be three other candidates. We're going to have our usual panel here, as far as I know anyway. None of them have said they're not coming so far. And that would be Jeff Meyer, Don Zorro, and Tim Conaway is going to be our usual panel for that. And that will start, we're going to start that show. This is a week from tomorrow, December 6th. The debates in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And so that's Central Time, and it's going to end at 9 p.m. Central. So we're going to start an hour early. As we did with the other three debates, as soon as it's done, we're going on. So, we'll gab, and that's what we do. And I'm guessing Don Zorro will make me laugh, because he usually does. So that's next week. So I'll be back tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you. It's going to be warmer here, and so I won't be bitching quite as much. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. We'll see you tomorrow.